In chapter 1, rather, we know here the saints were suffering, going through great tribulation. And they were being deceived by some by saying that the day of the Lord has already come. And then the apostle says, no, don't let anybody deceive you, because the coming of the Lord, the rapture has to take place, is the prelude before the Lord will come in glory and power. So what about those judgments or the tribulation that they're passing through? Well, he answers these Thessalonians. He says in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. You notice which is in italics. A manifest token of the righteousness of God is that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye suffer. So the believer that suffers today, God considers them, they're worthy to enter into the kingdom. Now what's going to be the difference? Well, when it's righteous for God to bring those suffering saints into the kingdom, he says, and you who are troubled, okay, verse 6, seeing it is righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So God, who is righteous in delivering you now and preparing you for the kingdom in that coming day, God, who is righteous, he's not unmindful of the unrighteousness and the wickedness. So he is righteous in judging those that trouble the Christian now. And he will come to them, how, when? When he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Just think of this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two categories there. Those that know not God, that's the pagan world, heathen world. They know not God. But the Jewish nation, they obey not the gospel. They heard the gospel. It was presented to them. They rejected it. And so they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And I love the next verse. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. He will be midst of the myriads of you and me, his redeemed saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. That is, the Lord will be admired in you and me. He's not always admired in us now. But at that time, when we will be there, there will be nothing left of self. We'll be changed into his image. And they will see his glory reflected in all his redeemed saints. What a sight that will be. And in all them that believe. Because, he says, the parenthesis, our testimony of you was believed. You have believed the testimony concerning the Lord. We believed. And as a proof of that, they'll all be with him in that day. He'll be displayed in all his glory in the midst. It takes all his redeemed to display the manifold features of the glory of our Lord Jesus.
I'm wondering if I can add to this, Brother Jake, is how the Lord, in a very wise way, concerning the questions, he takes them further than the questions. And I just want to bring two verses to express that. But as you have mentioned, Kevin, all these things are written for us, even such a portion before us. And I think the reasons that they have recorded, as the brethren said, are applicable to us in the present moment. Why are we entering into these things? So that we will not be deceived. So that we will not be troubled. So that the same application could be said of us, we can be watchful. What impressed me with the Lord, how he addresses it, he says, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. He went beyond the tribulation. He went all the way. ushering us into eternity. But what he's impressing upon us now is not only the events, and it's not what's going to take place, but my words shall never pass away. Brethren, we can never lose sight of the word of God. That his words are so precious to him that the word of God should be very precious to us. That regardless of the circumstances, there will be no one word of his divine word that will pass away. The second part, Brother Bill, you wanted us to touch on the hour. It is amazing that when the Lord Jesus is expressing this, he's not talking about the rapture even. He's talking about the circumstances. Sometimes it is good for us to say approximately 7 years. Because really we don't have the how many days more. We don't. But the hour and all these things pertaining to the scene in Matthew 24 is the knowledge of the Father. But that's not the rapture. So how dare we, when these things that we might know approximately what the time, yet in our days in the Christian circle, that we can say when the Lord is coming to take us home. When there is nothing in the scripture to give us any signal or any sign that the Lord is coming. So may the Lord help us to understand that his word, he exalted his word above his name. That's how dear it is to his heart. And may the Lord help us. The more and more we know the scripture, the more and more we will be solid, so that we will not be deceived by every wind of doctrine practically for us in the present moment.
It was mentioned this morning that most of the apostles who heard these words would have actually seen the part about the destruction of the temple. And who could have imagined that such a thing would take place? And yet it did, precisely as he described. And so for those who actually saw that, there is confidence that all of the Lord's words can be believed. And there will be those who are actually reading these words when these very things are taking place. We touched on it earlier, back in verse 15, we have that phrase, whoever reads, let him understand. Well, right now we're the readers, and we ought to understand. But there are going to be readers who are actually studying this, trying to figure out what is happening in the world, seeing all these things take place, seeing some man exalting himself to a place of godly, godlike honor, taking that for himself. And is this what is promised by the prophets? And someone we could just imagine, those who are seekers to know what God is doing in this world, they will pick up somebody's Bible that was left behind, or pick up somebody's Bible in a store and start to read and understand and see these things described. So we might say that's another context. That's another reader who is actually seeing these words and will actually then be able to understand what is being said. And to add on to what we've been saying about the applications for ourselves, I want to point out how frequently it says now in the passages that are left, this idea about not knowing and the result for us. It says in verse 36, no one knows. Then it says in verse 42, watch, because you don't know the hour. Verse 44, be ready, the Son of Man is coming at an hour. Be ready, the Son of Man is coming when you don't expect. Chapter 25, verse 13, watch, you don't know the day or the hour. This is going to be the theme, really, for the rest of this passage that we're considering. And although it ought to have an impact on those who are living at this, at the time of chronology that we're considering, it ought to have an impact for us too. The watchful attitude, the readiness for our Lord to come. We will come in our third study to this idea of a faithful and wise servant in contrast to the evil servant who does not have a watchful spirit. And if we don't have a watchful spirit, though we are not watching for precisely the same things, if we don't have a watchful readiness for our Lord to come for us, we also will have difficult, bad results, wicked results in our lives as well, in our attitudes, in our behaviors. So this is another aspect that the disciples, they would see the actual temple destroyed, and they would know that all the words of the Lord would come to pass because they saw that first one take place. There will be readers in the future time who will read these passages and begin to understand, perhaps if they didn't. And we ourselves are exhorted to be ready.